Number 60. The FIFA Ramble. Podcast number 60.
Oh, we got the 60.
I have no idea.
Just 60.
Just pure force, isn't it? Just
pure
unbridled.
Yeah, I
mean, football. Because there's enough football.
Forcing
to talk
ourselves
about.
On people. 60 episodes.
With consent.
Well, yeah, I mean, for the most part.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we're going to be chatting lots, but we just wanted to lead in by also just saying thank you to our sponsor this week.
Our sponsor. I just want to take a minute to appreciate.
Just a minute.
Just to say, you know, following the tragic events in London recently, obviously it was Bonfire Night or Guy Fawkes. Mm-hmm. For those traditionalists.
On the 5th, I think it was.
It usually is. I'll have to double check, make sure it was this year. But Sting has teamed up with Gary's Records this week, following the troubling news of small animals being tied to fireworks in the London boroughs.
I didn't know Sting was going to be on this. I hate Sting. I specifically told you not to put Sting.
You should have mentioned it before. So Sting and Gary's Records.
Hi, it's Sting here. You know, I was deeply affected by the London fireworks disaster this year, which saw inner city youths launch small animals into the sky. It's seen hundreds of pet shops close in London this week, and the clear-up job is messy and horrific. So I teamed up with Gary to create a safety fireworks album. A quarter of every sale will fund a safer bonfire night next year, featuring such hits as Firework. It took me a month to write that one, but this one is a more personal story. This one shows the warnings of breathing in smoke if you stand too close to a bonfire.
Those lungs will go and you won't be breathing on God Forbes now.
A recent trip to New York had me meet an English man who had a sparkler in his hand, and it got me thinking, how are sparklers made?
I don't know how they make sparklers. They're like a weird incense stick, coated with something that's flammable, my dear, probably made by Englishmen. Whoa! What sparkler? How do they make sparklers? How do they make a sparkler?
I'll get even more personal on the final track. I suffered an injury many years ago when I was a little boy, when I got a little bit too close to the bonfire and the firework display. I was almost unrecognizable, but the doctors did a wonderful job.
Just a silly bet, a joke amongst my friends. Oh!
Big thanks to Gary Records for putting out this safety album. Remember, a quarter of which will go into a fund that will make next year's bonfire night even safer. I'm Sting. I'm off to do some yoga now.
Thanks, Sting.
Thanks, Sting. Gary's Records.
Records sponsoring this week's number 60 of the FIFA Ramble podcast.
Manchester United.
Do you want to go into Manchester United Bournemouth?
Yeah, let's
enjoy that
talk
game.
About the game. I did.
Is that one of your favourite games?
Yeah, it was look, Man United have struggled. Yeah, well, again, I think it was, I'm not sure if it was luck or if it was just Man United. This revival, we hinted at it last week, where we said they've had a strange sort of revival feel about them. Since that Newcastle game, it sort of turned around slightly. I know they lost to Juve, but it was very, it was contested, that game. Bournemouth have been on fire.
We've talked about Bournemouth's rise, or like good form.
They've been really good.
They won't hold out with this form, but yeah. I just enjoy watching them.
They were in this purple patch. This year's Leicester after Watford turned out not to be.
Who's the Leicester?
Yeah, everyone's going to be forever. It used to be.
That's how good. It's the parlance of our time. That's how it's going to be referred to as.
Yeah, you know, it's. But what United did was stop that from, you know, they went 1-0 down and they ended up winning 2-1, and it had to be Rashford that scored the winner because he was the one that was getting the treatment. And look, now what we're looking at in the league is Man United have picked up 10 points from the possible 12 that are available. That's good form on anyone's, by anyone's standards.
Yep.
Liverpool have won 3 games in the last 9.
They've ridden out the storm.
Now United have got Juventus, they're playing as we speak. As we record this, they're playing now. Yeah. We have no idea what the scores are. And then they've got Man City on the weekend. Mm-hmm. So look, they've got a big week ahead of them. However, they are going into it in good form. But the one thing which I suppose the bigger issue, is Mourinho and his state of mind, as it were.
Yeah, you know? Which is... It looked really shaky at times, and if
it looked fragile, didn't it?
He's shown terrific mental strength the last couple. He's rode out of a hell of a storm.
Yeah.
With the press, and you just want to see how detrimental that it actually was on only him, but the players around him, because that was a real pressure cooker, which all rotated itself on the whole. It wasn't good for the club. But
it wasn't.
Remember, what was it like? This is how fickle it was. What was it, like 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, when we were like stating how poisonous and how toxic like negative reaction is, especially with pundits. And, like, this is how quickly things go, isn't it? That's how quick it goes.
Yeah, it does. I mean, look, we've been saying all along, it's we never bought into the media around it.
Mm-hmm.
We never decided, oh, they're in crisis.
We never fueled the fire.
No, we didn't. We didn't. No. We just decided that we were going to judge it as...
We've always been in defence of Mourinho.
We've been in defence of Mourinho, and I think that what we both recognised, and Mitch, who... Yeah, he's not here.
No longer with us.
No longer.
This week.
We've recognised the human aspect in all of this, and that's the thing that gets lost of this. It's just they talk about the manager and the club, and it's almost like everybody forgets when these things are happening. Look, I'm a Man United fan, and there's no doubt that the results were poor. You know, they were for a long time.
But I think you're a stoic Man United fan, like you said. You have the ability to let it wash over you. It's not as good as you want it to be, but
I'm still a Man United. Look, I've always said this, mate, one bad result won't ruin my weekend. 6 bad results won't ruin my month. It's just a football match, and if they, because I support Man United whether we're first in the Premier League or 22nd in League Two.
Same with Arsenal. Same with
any right-minded football fan. So the result, yes, it would annoy me. However, it's so almost irrelevant to me, because as much as I do want them to win, I'm gonna continue to support this football club for the rest of my life, and regardless of where they are, you know. I mean, nod to the future of where we're going with this podcast, but you know, they may not, their future may lay outside England, you know. But
they're just getting results, not in the prettiest
ways. They're getting great results, that's the thing. And the media aren't talking about it.
They were lumbering, they looked really slow.
Do you want to think, I would say, sort of harking back to you saying about it being lucky?
Yep.
I said after the game, we tweeted out Man United. On the whole, Man United probably didn't deserve, across 90 minutes, probably didn't deserve the win. However, Do you only get 2 points if you get a win but don't deserve it?
Look,
do you, if you deserve things a go draw so fast but now, lose, do you get
you
a
don't,
point?
You're no. not going to remember. It doesn't matter. Like,
no,
that's,
it doesn't matter.
That's how any team operates. Is 6 months getting
time,
those smuggling
no
those 1-0s. It doesn't matter.
No, 6 months time, no one will go, did Man United win, deserve to win it? It doesn't matter. They got the 3 points. And now we find ourselves in a position where actually, I think, we're only a few points off fourth. I think we're about 4 points off fourth, something like that. I'm not sure of the actual...
So a little shout out again to Paul Pogba, who's found form, who's performing very nicely.
Yeah, I'd argue that Paul Pogba himself gets the brunt of it because he's easy target.
Yeah,
that's what we've always said. This he's an easy target, and then no one recognises everything else.
Yeah, I think it's the same with Rashford. It's the same with Lukaku recently as well. It's like they just go through the mill. They just run through it. And you saw the amount of pressure which came through when Rashford got on that winning goal.
Yeah.
Let's give a lot of credit to Bournemouth as well, because they the way they were.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they're
can
through
I just,
the...
Can I do
through,
one shout-out for Bournemouth?
With the shout-out button.
We've never really... Shout-out button. Shout-out. There you go. Lerma. In the middle.
Yeah.
I haven't spoken about him at all this season. I thought he was exceptional against United, and he did that job to the. He does that. He's a hard tackling, strong central midfielder from South America. You know, he comes in. His job is to win the ball and pass it to someone else. That's his job. They're the players that do not get plaudits until they're about to retire. That sort of mold. I'm not.
Yeah.
Saying he's
no,
superb,
true.
However, he's doing a job that's unfashionable, and he's doing it well. He did very well against United.
Out of the Bournemouth players, no, obviously Ryan Fraser.
Yeah,
probably should have scored that when he took it.
Fraser should have.
Yeah, a few
Fraser
times.
Should have. I like him. Wilson should have got more than one.
I think he's one of those you're short and snappy technical players. That was great. Stanislas when he's functional, that's all good. And Callum Wilson, obviously. Is a snap, sharp finisher. So,
yeah,
I think that'll round up our little bit there.
Yeah,
all right, cool.
On that.
Mourinho, we support you, mate.
We do.
Yeah,
Jose,
call us.
This is a great podcast.
Really, 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 really quickly, I want to just tap into.
That's
the...
really quick.
I know it's pretty quick.
That's
but
pretty
now
quick.
I've said really quick enough, then it's not really quick because
we're
about
slowing
the quickness
it down by talking
saying
about
really
how quick
quickly.
It's going to be.
Let's just roll back a little bit,
okay.
And just go across Manchester,
yeah.
And see what's happening at Manchester City,
no.
Where they're just dominating. They're just dominating right now. They've got themselves.
Do you know what
together.
They're not doing? They're not telling players to foul. That's what Pep said. He would never tell a player to foul. Because Gary Neville, do you see this furor about him?
A furor. No, I'm seeing that.
Gary Neville, I think it was Gary Neville. Yeah, it must have been. Said that they were very good at tactical fouls.
And as in, all Pep teams have been that way.
But Pep Guardiola was put this in an interview, in a press conference, and he said, I would never tell a player to foul. The problem for Pep... is that they've just released a documentary series on Amazon Prime. And in that documentary series, he's filmed telling them to foul.
But this is spin.
It was great.
This is what you have to do, you know. If you're
they're certainly not doing it.
You've just got to be Trump, haven't you?
Yeah, no, I just love the fact that he literally said, I'd never tell my players to do that.
Yeah.
Pep, you were filmed.
But that's the way things work. And you've got to protect yourself and protect those players. But like, he's done this with every single... winning team that he's had.
Yeah.
It's just like it's a Barcelona-esque sort of way.
So your best gets his career out.
Busquets is still doing that now.
Busquets is the best.
Yeah, so it's just that mentality. Yeah. One of the interesting things, obviously, there's Sterling getting credit for being Sterling now and being useful, but it's just that Pep system that's just wiping people aside with how wide they are, wide they're spanning, how they attack. To be fair, they were playing a really limp Southampton team.
Flaccid.
It was beyond flaccid, wasn't it? There was no blood in there.
There was no hope for that at all. I mean, not even doctors.
It's like a punctured balloon.
Luckily for me, and luckily for Southampton fans at the minute, I tipped them. Remember I tipped them last year for relegation, last season?
You did.
Back in the day, I said, and they were about 12th at the time, and I said, I reckon they're going to go down. And they nearly did, and I was gutted. Because I was like, I could have been... I tipped them for relegation right from the start in our preview show this year. And Mark Hughes is certainly
it's just Sparky
doing
Hughes.
A good job.
He's doing a fantastic job. It's just beyond repair now, I think. It's just a matter of when. The other thing I wanted to mention is the amount of small mini technical players which have come to notoriety recently.
Yep.
I think it's a really good little study about those short, snappy players who just get in amongst it, and I think it's a completely different view of how Man United actually work as well. With
the Giants.
Yeah, exactly. He's slow as lazy.
Pogba's not small. Pogba, when I saw him live, right up close, I was about two rows. I was about two rows from the pitch, and he came right up to the audience. He was huge. I can't believe it. But, and this is a direct sort of shout out button to those people who say Premier, it doesn't count unless it's in the Premier League. Premier League's the best league in the world. I don't watch any football unless it's the Premier League or the Champions League. So basically now what's happening is you're watching the Premier League change the way they're focusing
right
on
in front of our eyes.
Technical players, yep. Yeah, so even English players, because look at the England squad now. He plays on the fringes of it. Hughes at Watford.
It's an evolution.
Phil Foden at Man City. The younger players. Sancho, you know, Reece Nelson. These young players. Now, the Premier League is now taking notice of this. And the Premier is getting more and more in the media that the smaller technical players are coming to the forefront. I would address those people who say, who only watch the Premier League, who won't watch Serie A, who won't watch La Liga, who won't watch Liga, and so on. And say, all of those leagues have been focusing on the smaller technical players for years.
So like Arsenal as well.
Yeah, so years. So basically what now is happening is the Premier League, the apparent best league in the world, I don't believe it is, it's just got the most money, they are now catching up to where Serie A has been for 15 years. Andrea Pirlo.
Yeah. Okay.
Xavi.
It's a different type of player, though. And, do you, like, this is a little link in a minute, right?
Yeah.
The link in is when, like, basically, when you've got little snappy, jinky players, yeah, who are in the box and that you can't touch them because they're so quick.
Yeah.
And it's a tough, sort of hard defender, like one of the best defenders.
Ooh,
is probably,
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you get it.
Yeah.
So when, like, they're sort of, you've got to be really sure of how you defend.
Yeah.
And we see it now because there's a load more penalties being taken. There's a lot more goal action. And like, as we've seen, when you've got really technically astute players coming at you, if we look at Man City model, we've got Aguero, who is just a little bulldog when he loses the ball. And he was just dancing all the way through. Southampton aren't a good example of this because they were absolute trash.
But look, hang on, before, because again,
Bernardo Silva,
like,
David
Southampton
Silva.
Were poor, but Man City were brilliant.
Yeah, and then you've got like Sterling flying at you.
Sterling, yeah.
It's just like, wow, okay, that new type of player. Imagine what it's going to be like when VAR comes in.
Yeah.
Because other leagues have adapted. And we went on this rant when it was the World Cup.
It's another example of the Premier League being behind the times in modern
But it is
football.
Evolving right in front of our eyes. And the type of players are coming through which are in that mould. So football is changing on that
level. It's the problem that you have, though, is that the Premier League is now going, oh, what if we had adopted it? And there's that arrogance of, oh, we want more testing on it. Fair enough. However, it's being used
you
in
are behind.
All of these leagues.
You're
right now.
You're one behind
working.
Everyone.
It's right good now. Enough for the World Cup, but it's not good enough for Bournemouth versus Huddersfield. All right.
And we've already seen, like, we're 11 games in and we've already seen instances of, like, what do we do?
Yeah.
Like,
that's
been given. This hasn't. So it's just,
it's
that
happening.
Will transform the landscape even more, but with those type of players moving forward. Every club has to be aware, and there's got to be a new wave of defending. Because the other thing which happened, and it happened in the Spurs game, actually, with that Argentine defender, 20-year-old defender.
Foyth,
yeah. He just got called
out. He said it's great, he's just got called out. Yeah,
exactly. But it's that mentality of being too rough. And putting a foot in where you didn't have to, like twice, and there was two examples, and it almost like bit him in the bum.
Yeah.
So that's just a little example. But
before we move on, can I just say Aguero 150 goals?
Can I just say?
Do you know the other two are?
Shearer.
150 goals for one club.
Who is it?
Rooney and Henry.
Romney. Mm.
The only player to get to 150 in the Premier League era quicker was Shearer, and he did it in
So surely you'd have to say now that Aguero is one of the best strikers.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely one of those. He's one of the best strikers. We've always... The only part... You reckon he's the best player in the Premier League. I don't. I reckon he's one of the best strikers to ever grace football.
Yeah.
However, I still say De Bruyne is a better footballer.
Okay, well, I think time will tell.
Let's press that button.
Guys, I know you're like me, and you're always on your feet.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think we all need protection.
Yeah, well, I tend to agree, but is that possible?
It is possible with McGregor's fungal foot powder, which we are happy to announce. We are partners and sponsors. That is McGregor's fungal foot powder. I think we should all use it.
I'm going to give it a go right now.
Yeah.
Okay, here, have some McGregor's foot powder. Let's give it a whirl.
Let's do it.
Let's give it a whirl.
McGregor's. You can trust in McGregor's.
Trust in McGregor's.
Let's move forward. Let's chat move. Arsenal.
Let's move should forward. Chat, it's quite like Arsenal. The club have done themselves.
Should we chat Arsenal-Liverpool?
It was a great game.
It was wonderful, wasn't it?
I loved it. Mm-hmm. I absolutely loved it. Can I just... 6 months ago... let me do some maths.
Well, like 3 weeks ago.
No, hang on. There's a, no. Say, right, let's go back
to...
Long
division.
Okay, let's... What are we now? November, January. Let's do 10 months ago. Okay. Yeah. Arsenal would have lost that game.
You can't. That's preposterous.
No, you would have.
That's
because
preposterous.
No, it's a. I'm making a. This is a. This is a positive point that I'm making about Arsenal. The changes that Unai Emery has brought into that club. The changes, not just on the pitch. Forget all of that. Mm-hmm. In the mentality of this club, he has come in, and then I'll say something, and then I'll get hammered for it by Man United fans. But I will say it regardless. He has come in and done what did what Moyes has failed to. Yeah, he's taken over from a long-standing, the longest, you know, very long-serving manager, successful manager of a club, and he's come in and he's gone, right, we're doing this.
It's just and important to point out that Arsene Wenger is the architect who laid the foundation for this to happen.
It is,
but then we need to give maximum credit for Unai Emery's vision. And how he's got everyone on board, and it just shows you, like we've mentioned time and time before, how much mentality matters. Sarri at Chelsea, how massive is that? He knows his football, he knows what he wants from players, and people they're willing to respect the vision and buy into it. If you buy into a brand, if you buy into a brand of football, which we talk about all the time, not many managers actually have that.
Can
it's that respect.
The thing which I like, he's changed. They've been brilliant this season. Arsenal and Chelsea are my favourite two teams to watch in the Premier League this season.
The Ramsey goal, Meza like booming away. You've got Lacazette.
The third goal against Leicester is still my goal of the season.
Yeah, and it is. It's like that was like
they were brilliant. But my biggest thing, and as I said, again, 9 months ago, you would have lost that game. Because Arsene Wenger, yes, he had been successful. Yes, he had done all of this stuff. However, there is absolutely no denying, because the seasons and some of the results speak for themselves, there was this thing at Arsenal, which, rightly or wrongly, was when it got very tough, they stopped putting their foot in tackles. They stopped winning 50-50s. They didn't press as high. They
it's also a testament that the players have come in and settled, like Torreira, who's a fabulous
but
player, so important.
But you see what I mean? There wasn't that fight.
But they've always had that.
It almost is a... When Arsenal, like I say this game was when Wenger was in charge in January, if it had happened then, I genuinely think what would have happened, that Liverpool would have scored, and then there would have been this almost... malaise that
this game it still could have gone either way. You have Van Dijk hitting the post.
Unai Emery will get that squad into the Champions League.
Yeah,
Arsene Wenger wouldn't have.
But that's,
you know what?
That's what comes
the
in with the change of the guard.
Because, well, do you know what I think the biggest change on this is that Unai Emery coaches. He's a coach, as in, and Wenger wasn't. Now, Alex Ferguson wasn't a coach. He was a manager. There's lots of Brian Clough was never a coach. Mm-hmm. I know we're talking different eras. Brian Clough's idea of coaching was that he took them for a walk by the Trent River, mm-hmm. you know, and go for, if they annoyed him, he'd make them play hide and seek. That's a true story. Mm-hmm. He'd hide and seek in the stadium, and that's their training. But it worked, and it worked for Wenger. It stopped working, but I genuinely think that was because of players. Now, I think Unai Emery's come
in. Do you think there's a mixture of the two with those tactical minds?
I just also think that squad, the Arsenal squad, has got so many superbly talented technical players that when you have them on one hand, like Mesut Ozil,
orchestrate,
yes, but then you have someone who one is a manager but is also a coach, so he can say, I want you to do this, but not only I want you to do this, but also this is how you are going to do it.
Yeah.
It works wonders. I'm a massive fan of Arsenal. I always have been. I think they're a great club and they're always beautiful to watch, but what is nice now is someone is saying, this is what I would like you to do, and this is how you are going to achieve it. And they're responding to that.
Hi, I'm Sydney, and when I'm not playing the flute, I'm listening to the FIFA Ramble. This is my flute mix.
Unai's
vision is coming to
Unai's done really
and
well.
Those new ideas are absolutely brilliant to see. Lacazette goal, Aubameyang working together, and like Rob Holding coming to fruition as well, which is a real positive.
Yeah,
Leno doing
well.
Okay, that's enough Arsenal Levin now. Let's go down to the Liverpool section. Also a good team, but they're in a state of...
Can I have a little bit more of an Arsenal 11?
Of course.
Just 2 seconds.
Let's do it.
Just one thing that happened in the game, but it happened a few times. Iwobi would cut down, he would be coming down the left-hand side, and he did this for the Lacazette goal, which was stunning. And he kept coming down the right, and he'd cut in, and as he'd cut in, whoever was in front of him would pull out into the space at the left, ahead of him. And as he's coming, cutting inside, mm-hmm. he'd play a pass behind him, across into the direction he was originally going. And it would split the defence apart, time after time. He played that ball about 3 or 4 times, and every time it just made me go, oh my God, that's a beautiful ball.
Yeah.
He'd just cut in and play it back down into his... So the ball would travel in the direction you were expecting him to go, but he would go the other way. He was unbelievable, and he played that pass to Lacazette. And Lacazette, to get that finish, he made it look easy. But when you watch it back, especially from the camera from behind the goal...
You knew exactly what he was going to do straight away.
Ridiculous angle.
Yeah.
And with Alisson coming out to get it, and he turned around, he had 3 Liverpool defenders between him and the goal, and he got it exactly right. It was a stunning goal.
It was
beautiful.
Perfect,
but it all set up from Iwobi. And Iwobi was magnificent.
He was very good.
Torreira was very good too.
But this is the importance of Torreira in that midfield. Yep. Like, the Ramsey situation, I'm pretty concerned with. But, like, it might not be a bad thing that he moves on. Because if it turns into get a bit displacement again, like, when he signs a new contract, then so be it. Like, maybe he needs another kick in another direction.
Yeah.
But he's a wonderful player, and he scored, if not the goal of the season so far, even if we're 11 games in.
Yeah.
Big shout-out button. Boop!
Boom.
Just going to do Virgil.
Yeah, Van Dijk's been good.
The Virgil Van Dijk. Tall player, very dominant, much needed in Liverpool, even though Liverpool are in 3-4 right now, and they lost to Red Star Belgrade this week. They need two positives right now. But again, I'm amazed.
They're gonna have one hell of a positive on the weekend.
Mm.
Yeah, they got a very good fixture coming out.
Mane probably should have confirmed that as a win, because Mane did play very well.
Yeah, he did.
Salah always decent enough. But apart from that, Milner popping up.
When that ball fell in that position,
yeah, you knew something was
happening. When you watch it back now, you just think, out of every single player in that Liverpool side, there is no one you want on the end of that more than James Milner. out of the box, he's just gonna hit it and it's gonna be on target. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not gonna aim for the top corner. He's not gonna try and chip. He's not gonna do anything fanciful. Mm-hmm. He's just gonna put his laces behind it.
Yeah.
And score a goal.
Yeah. I think both managers should have been happy with that. Unai.
Oh, it was
again,
a fair result.
Hasn't lost. Yes. Yeah. So it was all good there.
It was definitely a fair result.
Yeah, and it could have gone either way. So, yeah. Wonderful little game. We're all happy there, yeah.
Do you know why we can't find any hairy footballers?
No, because I've been looking for so long and I can't find any hairy footballers.
We've been there for ages. The footballers are just like porpoises. It's ridiculous.
They're too smooth for my liking. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I want to see some hair.
There's no hairy chest. There's no hairy shins. There's no hairy knees. I haven't seen a hairy neck.
There's nothing.
Nothing. Not even in Russia. It didn't happen.
If you find one, let us know.
The World Cup. But do you know why?
Why?
Ichiban.
What's Ichiban?
It's Southwest Japan's best hair loss cream. It's been voted number one.
Is that how they get hairy footballers?
No, this is why
they're on it.
Yeah, Ichiban. The Premier League is powered by Ichiban. I've cracked their codes.
Tell me what Ichiban does again.
Ichiban removes every last hair on your body within 3 minutes without fail.
Have you tried Ichiban?
No, but I certainly will now.
You should.
All of us at the Ramble use Ichiban hair removal cream.
It works all the time, at least some of the time.
And, oh yeah, so we've got a podcast as well. Come, yeah. Come and listen. It's the FIFA Ramble.
Come and listen.
Or don't. It's up to you. I'll leave it
Ichiban.
To you.
Ichiban.
Cardiff City, Leicester. Right, let's go on. Cardiff City, we're at home. A very sombre atmosphere, which I haven't seen the likes of for a while. It seemed to be such an emotional game, one of the more emotive games that I've seen. With how the mindset of the Leicester players are and all the Leicester fans and the amount of respect for the chairman who mm-hmm. was highly regarded, highly liked, and if one of the better chairmen to communicate with in the football landscape.
Yeah,
you saw it in Kasper Schmeichel.
Kasper Schmeichel, his post-game comments.
You could see it, couldn't you?
Do you know what I liked about it as well is that the emotion of the impact of what's happened had obviously it obviously affected him so much. He talked like a real person, and that was nice to see. And that's not a criticism.
We're fans of that away from the media.
There's too much problem. In this world. There is too much media trained spin. There is far too much of it. And it drives me mad.
All the cliches.
Talk like a human being.
Yeah, and that's what I like as well.
He talked like a human being. And he should have, because it's a very human emotion and it's a human situation. And we don't need spin from it. He addressed it as someone who knew this man very well
mm-hmm.
and obviously had a great respect for him. And yeah, I was really impressed with him. I thought he was really good, as I was the whole Leicester side. I've forgotten his name, so apologies. But the referee, I haven't. That's the only downside to this. I haven't enjoyed seeing some of the criticism coming out of the referee.
I wasn't even going to mention it, but yeah,
I think it is worth mentioning because it's almost been sadly. It's been, people have brought it up now. Yes, Gray scored the winner, and he took his shirt off. But you see the ref actually wince. You actually see his reaction. Look, I'm sure he would have said, it's a non-subject for me, but people have made it a subject. It's that thing, I'm sure he would have said, I really don't want to, but I have to.
I don't make the rules.
It is a rule. He has to book him for it. Mm-hmm. He has to. So stop making it out like he's done something wrong. All he's done is do his job. That's all he's done.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely true. But yeah, it's a weird one to take because
it was weird. And Cardiff City
lost.
Were impeccable.
Yeah, I thought Camarasa really impressed me that game, and they were pretty unlucky. And Demar Gray just popped up the winner there, and lots of emotion unfolded. Happy for Leicester, but on the other side, it's another loss for Cardiff.
Yeah,
City.
Look, I mean Cardiff again. They're another side that go down.
We're not at Christmas yet.
Not yet.
It's 11 games in.
I mean,
ease up a bit.
Shops are putting up their decks. So we're not at Christmas yet, but it is around the corner. I can smell
all the snacks are in the top aisle of Tesco.
Smell nutmeg.
Yeah.
They've lined up their tins of chocolates from different manufacturers across the tops of the freezer aisle.
Yeah.
That's the sure sign Christmas is coming. They're lined up there.
Seen people buying Quality Streets in mass.
There are, look, people that stockpiling Twiglets.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
They need
and Cheeselets.
I have nothing to say.
At all?
Nothing. I have nothing to say. I'm so sorry, I have nothing to say.
At all?
No. Nothing. I cannot say.
Quick mention, Chelsea.
Chelsea.
You mentioned Chelsea just really briefly. Just really want to just glide over there. Just see what's happening, see what's going on.
He's got like a resurrection stone, hasn't he?
We love Cyrus so much.
That's him and his resurrection stone.
That's
the resurrection stone there.
Do you want to...
There's the light on it.
Is that...
Just like this, ready?
Yeah.
Right, he walks in and he goes, Barclay.
Whoa.
Maratta. Like that,
That's what it is. That's what it's like.
I mean, for you people listening, that's a very visual feature, but for you people watching, you've got a treat.
It's very visceral.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, we've said it before. What I like about this Sarri side is he's come in and it's very much, if you're performing, if you're doing well, you will stay in the side.
Yep. Pedro. Mega good.
Yeah, Pedro's really
Kante.
Good. David
love,
Luiz.
Love.
Yeah.
William. Yes, please. Yep. We didn't see a handsome Frenchman. He was on the sides in a lovely hat.
All you need Giroud to do is just sit on the bench. That's it.
Just be Giroud.
Yeah. I'd like to see a
little mention which I want to just go through is Alvaro Morata.
Yeah.
A technically astute
great,
player. No one should just slag him off.
No,
don't slag him off just yet because it's I think exactly what Sarri
he's
said.
Sure, he's a great player.
What Sarri said in that post-match. And it's just really like a little bit of a, come on, you got this. Because he just needs a little bit of confidence. He will find those spaces.
He's a great striker.
Play to his strengths. He's wonderful in the air. He's technically astute. Give him time. He's very young. He will come into fruition.
Yeah.
The problem that Morata's got is that he's just finding his way in that team. Because there's so many... like brilliant players bombing forward, smashing the wings and stuff. He's just trying to find the level of, does he pull back or does he go in the box? Does he go short or is finding space? He's great at finding space when he's on his own and he can master that. That's why he scored two. Should have scored a third. I wouldn't beat him up over it. It would have been nice to get his hat trick or square it to Eden Hazard who set him up. But hey, he scored two goals. He got the win. Job done.
Yeah.
Like that's it. No one should be harsh on him because it's the same. We'll be in the Lukaku loop again of deciding how good a player he is.
Last
right
season,
now.
He started the season very well, scoring a few goals, and then people decided when he stopped scoring as regularly that he was rubbish.
Yeah, and
just
that's
it
so
seemed
unfair.
Overnight. It
like,
was just
that
like,
boy's got
oh, he's
the
really
best
good. Oh, no,
caliber.
He's not.
He's got the best
he
caliber in Europe. Like he's got like to be at Real Madrid, you just don't see players with that.
I saw. A bear in mind this last season, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a West Brom fan saying he's not good enough for our side. They got relegated, and Juventus wanted Morata.
Yep.
What on earth are you going on about?
Yeah, it's nonsense. But
Morata's great, and Sarri is now giving him the confidence and the platform to be.
Sarri is, but at arm's distance, he's laying up the gauntlet.
Ah, he's great,
and he's saying, "Go get him, Tony."
He's great, and he's doing it all. Blazing a fag.
Sorry, we love you.
We do. Guys, have you ever had that feeling where you just go, do you know what? I've had enough kids. I've had enough.
All the time.
I've got all the kids that I need. I've got, if anything, I've got extra than what I need.
So what's needed there? What can you do?
Blank shot post-vasectomy underwear is what's needed.
Is that your favourite brand?
It's my favourite brand. It keeps you tight.
Yeah. And it stops the kids.
It stops the kids. So if you think I've had enough kids,
where can I find these?
Internet, mainly the dark web, but they're branching out. Blank shot post vasectomy underwear.
.com.
.nz at the minute.
Okay. What are
it's
called?
A long story.
What are they called again?
Blank
check them out.
Shot post vasectomy underwear.
Okay, I will look into them. Do you know what we're doing now?
No.
Look in your pocket.
Have you got a ticket?
I got a ticket. Yeah. You know we love trains.
We're going on the Trans-European Express.
It's the Trans-Europe Express. Really quickly, we'll just hop across. Let's go. Where do you want to go first? It's up to you. It's open.
I want to go everywhere.
Okay.
As well as England for a bit.
Okay.
To talk about this mooted European Super League.
All right, tell me.
Now, it's been talked about for ages, but now it's Football Leaks, as it's being called. Hashtag Football Leaks. German paper, I believe it's Der Spiegel.
Yeah.
Der Spiegel? I believe it was that paper. They have released documents which they have been given or found or whatever. Mm-hmm. WikiLeaks for football. And included in that is the revelation that a number of top European clubs have actually had meetings and have... They've worded it as an agreement to start a European Super League within the next 3 years. Which will mean that they leave their clubs, their league, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Champions League, then. So they leave all of that and they form a European Super League. Now, there's an initial 11 clubs who would be deemed the founding members. They would be immune from relegation. Those 11, yeah? Those 11 are Real, Barca, Man United, Bayern Munich, Juventus, Chelsea, Arsenal, PSG, Man City, Liverpool and AC Milan. They'd all leave the Premier League. They'd form a European Super League. They'd leave Serie A, they'd leave the Bundesliga, La Liga, Liga. They'd come in. Then there would be an additional 5 which are deemed initial guests. They would be able to be relegated. Yeah? The first 5 would be Atletico Madrid, Borussia Dortmund, Marseille, Inter and Roma. 16 leagues. The 16 teams, that's your league. They all compete against each other twice each. That's the season.
Is that legit, like...
Yes.
...gonna happen?
No. That's what's been... That's... what has been sort of planned and could happen in 3 years' time.
It's just hard to get away from, like, Champions League, isn't it? Because that is, like...
They would get more money from this European Super League than Champions League and Premier League combined.
Well... That in itself is an incentive.
It is an incentive. The problem that I have with this is that judging from those sides, it is extremely feasible that sides like AC Milan and Arsenal and PSG and Man United, based on current form, could finish lower than Atletico Madrid, Borussia Dortmund.
But then you've got also got the fluctuations, you know. You've got the fluctuations. You don't know how Inter Milan are going to be. Don't know how Milan are going to be because they've all had little blips and everything.
Yeah, and but it's just
and it's maybe considered insulting when you've got like a lower tier of like Borussia Dortmund and Atletico Madrid as
they're the guests,
the little guests.
They can get relegated to a second tier, and then where does it stop?
What are your thoughts?
Do they then go back? I think it is yet another example of football's super rich,
yep,
just wanting to get more money. Not caring about the
logistics,
fan base, logistics of travel for those fans, in the same way that La Liga sold their fans down the Swanee to get this American game,
yep,
which doesn't seem as though it's happening.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen because Real Madrid and Barcelona have gone, well, we ain't going. And they've said, well, you are. And we're not, are we? And they've gone, oh, okay. But they also haven't thought about the traditions of the leagues themselves and how important that is, and the relic promotion. The one side that kept very quiet on this is Tottenham Hotspur. Why? Because they might actually win the league. Do you know what I mean? It's, if this happens, they might win the league. But no, I think it's ridiculous. Can we move away from that and get to proper real football leagues?
I like
that.
I like Italy.
Can we go to Italy?
Yeah. Should we go to Juve? You want to mention Juve?
Yeah, we can go to Juve first.
Juve?
Yeah,
they play Juve first. They're playing right now.
They are playing.
Oh, they're
right
playing
now. They're playing Man United.
Yeah.
They played I think, is it Calgary or Caligari?
Caligari.
Caligari. That'll do. They won 3-1.
There we go.
Cuadrado and Dybala were incredible. They were. I mean, Dybala scored within like I think it was 30 seconds.
Good lad.
Mm. Oh, it was good unreal. Lad. It was. It was a superb showing, mm-hmm, from him.
Who did Milan play?
AC.
Yep.
AC. Well, AC Udinese was not my favourite game of the weekend, but it was certainly my favourite last few minutes of it. We have a timeline here because it's worth noting.
This is the VAR, which has come into play, right?
Yeah, the VAR came into play. So what we have with AC, AC Milan
to
versus
just explain what
Udinese.
Happened.
Right.
So it's 0-0, deadlock.
It's nil-nil.
Important game, big Italian.
It's 0-0. 90 minutes, 0-0. They put up the board, 5 minutes added on. Okay? So you're playing 5 minutes added on. That 5 minutes comes, Udinese go to a man down, get a red card. Yeah? So, done. You're off. 96 minutes. And Romagnoli, for of all people, Romagnoli, the centre-back captain of AC Milan, for some unknown reason, is in the box. And he's not in the box because they've all...
And they were tapping around, weren't they?
They've worked their way up the pitch.
Yeah.
And he's found himself in the area. He then takes a shot, smashes it home. Cue absolute chaos. Goal gets disallowed. Goal gets disallowed. Gattuso nearly busts every blood vessel in his face. It goes absolutely spare. Gets sent off. Gets sent off. Get off. Because he's going mad. Then they go to VAR. And while all this chaos is happening, Udinese are trying their best to get the ball and just go, well, let's kick off. You've said disallowed. Let's go. Come on. It's 0-0 still. Because they're quite low down Serie A. AC, if they'd won this, would go fourth. Gattuso sent off. In all this chaos, the people watching VAR are saying to the ref, we think it's a fine, the goal's fine. We don't know why they've disallowed it. There's no reason. So they're chipping off in his ear.
Unless that was the end of the game. Unless it was the end of the game.
He's like, in a minute, chill out, in a minute. And then sort of the whole way going, no, 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 I don't know why you've cancelled that goal out. So Gattuso gets sent off. Then he reverses his decision, 97th minute. And it's given. It was the most chaotic and brilliant end to a game I've seen for a very long time.
And also shows the power of VAR.
Yeah,
when,
it was incredible.
Issue there. Arsene Wenger to AC Milan?
He was linked, I don't think so now, because they are now, I still believe they were after this result, they were in fourth. Mm. So I believe that he's got them up. They've been up and down. The problem with AC is that they have spent quite a bit of money over the season. Another thing that happened in this game is Higuain went down with an injury. Obviously a lot of money. But they play Juventus next, AC. Yeah. They play Juventus this weekend.
There's a lot of harsh run-ins, isn't there? Like, Juve have got it, like Man United are coming in.
Man United.
Monaco. Man City, yeah. Monaco in a hell
Monaco.
Of a state. Goodness
Let's move
me.
To France then for a bit.
Let's
if
go.
We're talking harsh run-ins.
Yeah, the man,
Monaco.
Thierry Henry. It's just come in, and it's all the ideas of a Gary Neville at Valencia sort of situation.
But don't. It's not happening. But Monaco were in a state before it, but they've signed some good players. They've got a very young squad. Now, over the years, we were waiting for this. I've got a theory about Monaco.
Go on,
over the last sort of few years, when people have got short memories. Now these people, you know, it's like Monaco. Oh, well, you know, they're not that good of a side. It was only a couple of years ago they knocked Spurs and Man City out of the Champions League. They were a great side. They still are a good side. But they lost Mbappe to PSG start of last season. And it was almost okay. They also lost Bakayoko, who now is obviously gone. He went to Chelsea, then he's at AC.
I rate him as
a he's a great player. Yeah. He's a superb player. He would work wonders under Sarri just to go back to Chelsea. Bakayoko would be brilliant, but he's moved on, whatever. The problem they had this season was I've heard people say it's because of Tom and Lamar leaving and going to Atletico. I don't think it is. I think it's because Fabinho's gone. I think Fabinho, that's my opinion. I think
so. Liverpool fans, if you didn't know, that's where you come from.
Basically, Liverpool are to blame for Monaco's demise. Mm. I think. Fabinho was the one constant who kept Monaco going. He's like that heartbeat. Now, last season, PSG had an agreement to buy him, and Monaco sort of went no. Mm-hmm. He kicked off because he said, well, you said that I could join him, they still said no. And this saying? Now they let him go to Liverpool. So, you know, but look, Monaco, have got PSG next. PSG have just got their 12th victory of the season.
Yeah.
They
smashed it.
They beat Lille 2-1. That was a good game.
Are PSG in the Champions League, are they bottom now? Or are they, are they still in it?
They're still in it. They're still that in. Group.
Because that was a huge game against Napoli.
Napoli won all.
It was a resurge of your man.
It was great. It was superb. Cavani came back off the bench.
The Cavani star.
That group C, you've got Red Star on 3 points, they're fourth.
Yeah.
The PSG on 5 points, they're third. Liverpool on 6 points, they're second, and Napoli at the top. There's 2 points, I think there's 3 points separating fourth and first.
It's going to be tricky. You see the Reece Nelson goal.
Yeah, Reece Nelson's superb. I've been saying about Reece Nelson for...
Yeah, check back, have a listen.
Literally,
all season. Since he got there. Because you kept track of him, you kept track of Sancho.
And even before that, when this used to be a FIFA-based podcast, I remember when I used to... I was talking about an Arsenal career mode I did, and I said I could sign Lionel Messi on a free today, but I decided to use Reece Nelson instead. You know? I mean, I'm not saying that I'm a football genius, but I am.
So bold words.
That's
there.
What people say. That's right. Amazing.
We've done a bit of Italy. We've done a bit of France.
We've done everywhere but Spain.
Spain was busy.
Real Madrid won a football match.
Real Madrid did. Yeah. Still, what are they? Like six. It's not hard push. Again, they're sort of carried away. We're like 11 games in. They've got to just pull their finger up, really.
Yeah.
But it's not to say that they're down and out. What I would say is Luis Suarez is absolutely on fire right now. And
they were lucky, Barcelona.
Oh, it was a good game.
They were lucky.
It was a huge game.
I think that what happened is just pure force of will just got through. But Rayo Vallecano, you big guys, you would be devastated. Winning 2-1 against Barca until the 87th minute.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, it's almost like, God, they got Ousmane Dembele, haven't they? And he scores, and then, they got Luis Suarez, and he gets the winner. And it's, you know, so Barca have got... Do you know the mad thing about Barca at the minute is that they've had these sort of struggling results, almost, but they find the way to win. Then they also have the results like El Clasico, where they just dominate Real Madrid. They still are playing Messi. He's still got to come back in.
Yeah, and I think they'll probably use him a little bit sparingly until he's at full fitness.
Yeah, probably. I mean, they've got enough depth now.
Did you see the Celta Vigo game?
Yeah, a little bit.
There were some great goals in that.
Yeah, they were. The problem that we had with the Celta Vigo was it was on the same time as another game that I was watching.
What were you watching?
AC Milan.
You're watching AC? Okay, yeah, fair enough. All the drama then unfolded.
I was watching the AC Milan game. So you could argue that I watched the wrong one. However, for the last 6 minutes, I'm glad I did.
Okay, quickly jumping over to Germany. I'm just going to just give a bit of a shout out to Borussia Dortmund, who are flying right now. And it's great to
really
see.
Well.
They are getting there. Like they're winning consistently, and I think they'll really put in the groundwork this year against Bayern Munich, because Bayern Munich haven't really hit form just yet, have they?
No, they haven't. They are struggling. A few other things which are interesting at the minute in the Bundesliga is the dynamic of RB Leipzig, who are doing very well.
Yeah,
it's almost like
fourth,
potential realise. Yeah, they're in the Champions League positions. They're doing extremely well, RB Leipzig. Bear in mind that at the end of this season, Nagelsmann is leaving Hoffenheim to take over as the manager of RB Leipzig. So that we know that's happening. So it's an interesting dynamic because Hoffenheim are doing a very good side, and with a very good manager, and he's leaving to go to Leipzig.
It's nice that it's laid out that way instead of like a bit of drama. Then he hasn't got time,
well,
so I think that's a good way to make appointments. They went
4-1 on the weekend, Hoffenheim. You know, they've done very well, but it's just that it's a very interesting dynamic that is very continental. I think
that's what you wouldn't get on the Trans-Europe Express.
Yeah, you wouldn't get that in the Premier League. You wouldn't go, the closest we've come to it is Marco Silva when he was Watford manager and then the talk of Everton, and he got sacked for it. But we know this is happening. Hoffenheim are really relaxed about it. They're like, no, we get him for another year.
Yeah.
We're getting good money for him. He's going. It
and
gives us a year to plan.
One of the greatest football minds in the football world right now.
And you know what? He's still younger than us.
Mm.
How's that? Fair.
Just want to go for a pint with now.
Unbelievable. Just younger than me.
Yeah.
But yeah, right. Can we go home?
All right, should we?
Let's leave the Trans-European Express.
Okay, get off then. I'll open the
get
door.
Get off. All right, thanks.
You just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.